Okay, this is David Wilcock, and this is part two of the October 20th, 2008 audio blog for Divine Cosmos. This one probably will not be as long as the other one, but I did want to give you the opportunity to break it off into a CD if you decided to. So, you have this group of people who band together in the higher realms in order to manage and transfer planetary populations, and this is so-called Confederation of Planets. According to the Law of One series, there's 53 different civilizations in this confederation. Now, again, you can look at all this stuff as totally hypothetical, but remember, this group spent 20 years perfecting channeling before they even started to get this contact at all. And the material that came through in this series from 1981 to 1983 has never been surpassed. No one else has ever come out with something as hard-hitting and as comprehensive as this. Most of it was done in 1981. About 75 out of 106 sessions were conducted in 1981, and then most of the rest were in 82 and only a very few in 83. Interestingly enough, the beginning and the ending of the Law of One contact corresponded almost precisely with a government project called Phoenix 3, in which the seat from a UFO was hooked up to be able to provide us with an opportunity to send people through space and time. The seat in the UFO basically creates an interface with the consciousness of the person in the chair so that you can focus your intent on a particular place and go to that place just by literally opening up a wormhole and your ship flying through it. So if you have someone in the chair and you give it the right power supply and the right antenna and equipment to be able to generate the fields that it's supposed to generate, then, and this requires a great deal of power, let's not kid ourselves here, the power generation for this was huge, but once you've done that, you can actually send people through these vortices and have them travel in time and in space. Now, I've spoken to two different witnesses who either one of whom was in the program directly, he actually worked there. His name is Daniel, and you've probably heard me talk about him before. He is very much a real person. This is not something I invented. And he satisfied every form of curiosity I had that this was real. I asked him an inundation of questions. And he actually ended up getting really interested in the Law of One material because it was the only source that was channeled that he ever saw that fit in so perfectly with everything that he already knew was true from this stuff that he did in Phoenix 3 or the so-called Montauk Project. And again, as I've said before, there are Montauk Project books out there written by Preston Nichols and Peter Moon. I don't want any beef with these guys, but I do have evidence that everything after the first book was essentially a distortion, more or less. That there was some truth in the other books, but not very much. And you don't really need to read anything except the first one if you're interested. But even the first one has some things in it that are not entirely accurate. I was told that Al Bielek, for example, was well-loved on the base, but also kind of seen as a storyteller. And his stories were fascinating, but you never really knew if you could believe what he was saying. It does not appear that this whole business of him being Duncan Cameron's brother and jumping off into 1941, I guess, which was the Philadelphia experiment, wherever it was, that doesn't appear to be true. But anyway, when they sent people through this vortex, you could travel through time and space. Time is simply a direction that you point yourself in and move through. When you shift your energy to the proper frequency, traveling through time is absolutely no different than traveling through space. You really have to expand your mind and see that time and space are one and the same thing. They're very, very similar. And what we think of as space over here is time over there, and what we think of as time over there is space over here. And the over there I'm talking about is called time-space. It's the mirror inverse of our world, in which space as we know it is time, and time as we know it is space. Except that in our world, you have three dimensions of space. You can move up, you can move to the left, and you can move forward. You can move in any direction you want. You have three dimensions of movement. But time is one-dimensional to us. It just keeps moving forward. That's it. There are two other dimensions to time that we don't usually have any access to. We are kept from those dimensions. You can flip over into a place where you have all three of those dimensions of time to move around in. But now the space that you knew before is stuck and will only keep moving forward in one way. So you can basically move yourself in time-space, and you fast-forward and rewind time in space-time. So you can basically be moving around a physical location, and that location will actually change in time as you go through it. So there are places in time-space you can go where that doesn't happen. There are places you can go where you're not going to see our space-time, and you can have a stable community there where walking around isn't causing time to fast forward and rewind. But if you actually try to look at our world in time space and you walk around in it, it's going to start changing. Now, you have to move a decent distance in order to actually see time shift that much, but it will. And this is one of the many funny things that comes out from the Law of One series that you really don't get anywhere else. The discussion of time-space in the Law of One series is very, very advanced, and it goes way over most people's head. Rightly so, because it's a complex discussion. It's a discussion that most of us have not had the scientific background to understand. In fact, the guy who was asking the questions, Don Elkins, had studied this as a science already. The science comes from a man named Dr. Dewey Larson, and Larsonian physics is all about space-time and time-space. And he explained how all the paradoxes of quantum mechanics can be solved if you postulate that there is this parallel reality called time-space in which the laws are flipped around and space becomes time and vice versa. And then what you get is an exchange between these two realms at the speed of light being the top speed, and then moving on down from there, and that exchange is what actually forms matter. Well, purist Larsonian physics tries to say that there's nothing really there, that it's only speed, and speed without any other existence. But obviously, if you have something that's at a certain speed, there's something moving. There is a medium. There is an energy. And we now know, again, that the energy is fluid-like and that it has geometric properties. So if you really want to solve the unified field theory, you have to bring in space-time, time-space, harmonic geometry, and all these other components that we've been talking about. And you get a unified model. It actually works. It explains mysteries in quantum mechanics. It explains the global grid. It explains why the Earth can be expanding and where the matter is coming from. It causes the Earth to expand. You can get spontaneous generation of matter from space. You can get spontaneous generation of energy from space. That's the main reason probably why our scientific mainstream has never been allowed to talk about Earth expansion theory, even though, gosh, it's been around as long as any other theory. Going all the way back to the 50s, people were seeing that the Earth would have to be expanding from within. But it's been suppressed, because if you can show people that the Earth is expanding from within, as is the Moon and the other planets, there's good evidence for that from Neil Adams, the comic book artist. You can look up his videos on Google. Then we have proof that there's free energy. We have proof that you can get something out of nothing. And why would we need to keep burning petroleum products in order to power our vehicles? We don't. One of the things I really do want to point out is that even if you're a huge 2012 skeptic and you don't think anything is going to happen around that time, that does not in the least bit change the fact that we are awakening. And we are going to have technologies beyond our wildest dreams. There already is Stargate technology. There already are jump rooms where you can basically teleport from one place to another instantaneously. That technology already exists. It's already being used. We already have an interstellar space fleet, reverse-engineered technology. There already is a Stargate network that connects us to many other planets throughout the galaxy. All of these things are true. I'm hoping at some point to be able to interview our witness, Henry Deacon, and get that audio. I don't know if he's going to want to do that or not. He does seem to have a voice encoding device now, so he can disguise his normal voice. That's probably the only way we'd ever get a spoken interview out of him. But he's become quite a good friend. I've spoken with him for, I don't even want to know how many hours. It's been probably 50, 60 hours that we've spoken now over the internet. And find him to be very knowledgeable. I've run him through every validation test I can think of, and I can confirm that things he was saying on Project Camelot are true. And there's a lot more that he knows that he did not share with Project Camelot that I have since heard, which only expands the story even more. So he's along the same lines as Sergeant Clifford Stone, where you have a person who confirms that there are, in fact, many civilizations visiting the Earth right now, that most of them are human, that the heights range from a foot and a half tall to 12 to 14 feet tall, which would be your so-called Anunnaki, that they all seem to use telepathy as a form of communication more than speaking. Most of them do not actually speak with their mouths. They are all working on different levels, but most of them are much more spiritually advanced than we are on Earth. And I have to laugh when I think about how everybody here is in this little bubble, just like we used to be in Europe when we didn't think that there was the rest of the world. And cultures come in contact with each other, right? And you sail off into the sea thinking that you're going to go off the edge and fall off into the abyss, that the Earth is flat and there's nothing over there. And then lo and behold, there's a continent, and there's people there, and there's people that are unlike anything you've ever seen before. And all of a sudden, the world changes, and we say, oh my gosh, there's all these people we didn't know, and there's all this land that we didn't know, and we thought we were the only ones. We thought there only were white people, but there's not. There's people that have other skin colors and stuff. And then, of course, in the early days, people don't believe it, right? They say, well, I don't believe that there's other people. I don't believe that there's these primitive savages they're talking about. It's all a lie. Well, nobody wants to remember those skeptics now, because obviously, as those people were then brought back on the ships, even the skeptics who were thumping the Bible or whatever and saying there cannot be these other people, they had to be changed and corrected. So we don't ever think about that. But Earth is exactly the same right now. We're just this little outpost thinking that our planet is the only game. There's people all around us. They're in our skies. They're on the moon. They're on Mars. They're working with people in our secret government right now, trying to help on a variety of different levels, some of whom are positive, some of whom are not so positive. There's varying programs, varying levels of involvement. And the bottom line is that we're all going to meet each other very soon. So, yeah, if you don't want to believe that some kind of transmutation is going to happen in 2012, that's fine, even though it is going to happen. It doesn't change the fact that there's people out there. They are very real. And for those of you who sit there going, oh, I can't believe it, I can't believe it, you're really no different than that guy in Europe who didn't believe that the savages were real on the other side of the world, that still wanted to believe the Earth was flat, that didn't trust the explorers when they came back with these tales of these faraway lands and these strange peoples. It's only when the proof is shown, when it comes time for other people to actually meet them, that we realize, oh yeah, it is true. So, you have teleportation technology, time travel technology, anti-gravity technology, free energy technology, and the science of consciousness as a field, and how you can actually harness this energy of consciousness and raise your own frequency with it. Plus the fact, as I've said before, that the fossil record shows genetic evolution occurring in even intervals of time, meaning that all the species on the Earth keep upgrading in their genetic makeup as if there was some pre-described plan that they're all following. That's something that we have to take seriously. Genetic evolution is occurring. It has occurred before. It occurs in even intervals of time. There's a 26 million year cycle that's more recent, and a larger cycle of 62 million years that goes back to the beginning of recorded fossil history, 542 million years ago. And I've talked about this many times, and we're getting ready to put a video out about it. So The main trigger for this biological evolution seems to be energetic changes in the solar system. And I want to thank all of you who already have sent me emails about this new study that just came out showing that the heliosphere, which is the sun's magnetic envelope of energy that surrounds it, has decreased by 25% in the last decade, 25% weaker, 25% less of it. Now, that's very clearly being caused by the exact same thing we've been saying all along, that we have books from the 1950s, the precursor channelings that led up to the Law of One material in 1981. This is earlier Confederation material that is accurate and is real, that came through beginning in the early 1950s through a few select channels. Way before all the distortions and the crazy things that you see on the internet now, like prophecies like this October 14th thing that come and go. Again, I love Blossom Goodchild. I saw her video. She's a great woman. I mean her no disrespect whatsoever. Everybody who's a channeler has had a big gaffe at one point or another where we've made a prophecy that didn't happen. It's just not going to happen as soon as you think. We're not going to have these guys in our skies in the next 24 to 48 hours. It's going to take some time. And what it takes is changes on our planet. We need to start evolving as a planet to get away from this warring mentality. We need to be able to lovingly expose the negativity that's out there. We really don't need to feed the negativity. It really disconcerts me. The number of people who are fans of my work, interested in what I'm talking about, are hearing these shows, and then send me this ridiculous email about how bad Obama is as a person, and that we shouldn't trust him, and he's this obnoxious guy, and he's affiliated with Zbigniew Brzezinski, and da-da-da-da-da. I can't imagine how somebody who follows my work can be so hateful. I really can't. It's like the simple fact that there's a name, Brzezinski, and we know that the guy signed off on the Project for New American Century, which suggested that something like a new Pearl Harbor would be necessary for changes to occur in society. I get it, okay? I know that he's out there. That doesn't give you the right to hate him. We really are not in a position to hate anyone. And when you go in that place, you're going down a path that only creates more hatred and more separation and more pain. That's why I'm not going to hate on McCain and Palin. You're not going to hear me saying, woo, 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 my team is winning and Obama's going to nail it, and acting like I'm on a football cheerleader squad or something. We need to stop this. We need to stop sending negativity and hatred towards people, even if they have chosen in the past to go down a different route. Brzezinski may very well be in this group that is rebelling against the power that's in place right now. And why would you want to hate these people? I mean, think about it. How is anybody going to be able to come forward against the group that they were involved in if the group is going to kill them if they're too overt about it, and then the public is going to hate them anyway and brand them the same way that we used to burn witches at the stake? Granted, there are some nasty people out there, and they are a part of this group. But one of the things that I've done to coincide with this show is I have remixed and remastered the appearance of the woman named Savali on Greg Szymanski's radio show from 2006, which was in January. And I was the reason why that show happened, okay? I've been reading this woman's work since the year 2000. The Illuminati, again, are a very scary group of people. They have some ancient rituals and some things they're working on that are very disconcerting, and it's not for the weak of heart to learn about them. Now, her radio show isn't that bad. It's actually pretty low-key compared to reading some of her articles. So I do encourage you to hear that. We got rid of all the commercials now because this particular show is just too important. It needs to be in a more edited form so you can hear the whole thing in one pass, and that's what I've done. Now, Savali comes across as a really nice, warm, young person. She does not come across as egotistical. She does not come across as malevolent. But she was in one of the most, if not the most, malevolent group on the planet. One of the things she says in there is that most of these people want to get out. They do not want to be in the group. If they could have a way out, they would find it. But they just don't have that option. They're stuck. And how are these people ever going to be able to share what they know if we're wanting to go and burn them alive as soon as they come out in the open? So please stop taking people's names and just because they did something before, automatically assuming that they're negative or they're evil. There are things that have been said and things that have been done in order for this election to be won. Yes, you have to support Israel if you're going to win a U.S. presidential election. You have to. You have to say certain things. You have to have people whose names you can drop who already have experience in government. You cannot expect to start an administration in this world with the conditions being the way they are and have a bunch of no names, people that are not part of the system, and think you're going to win. The old school could totally blow you down because the mainstream has totally gotten it in its mind that this is what you have to trust, is these names and these people. And yet you can still have somebody who has totally bucked the system. I get these hate mails and I don't like it. I don't appreciate you sending me this stuff, and I would appreciate you not doing that for those of you who are doing this, because this is not just my opinion. This is something that has been given to me in dreams and in visions over and over again. I have had very profound dreams about Obama that are very positive, that show me that outside of linear time, this man has a really important role to play on the planet that will be seen that way. I really don't think there was a doubt about the election. I think it was always to a much larger weight of probability that he was going to cinch it. And I think it's really the economy changes coming at the time they did that is the largest factor that kind of shifted that around. And of course, as I was starting to say before, Palin announcing that her daughter was pregnant was on September 1st, and it was that very same day that I was told to go get the Law of One series, Book 3, and open it up to a particular page. And then I opened it up to that page and read about this particular cycle where you count every 18 days from when you were born. And during that 18-day period, for the first 9 days, you are more energized, and for the next 9 days, you're less energized in terms of your psychic work. And they are recommending that you follow this cycle. So, of course, I calculated the cycle and discovered to my utter shock and amazement that there have been exactly 720 cycles of 18 days from the day I was born to the day that Palin said her daughter was pregnant. And that same night, I was told to go read about this 18-day cycle. That is an astonishing psychic hit. More recently, I was in the studio with Larry Sayer working on my album, Wander Awakening, which I do want to talk about. And I was getting ready to come back here to LA, which is where I am now. And we decided to take a look at the article that we'd just written a couple days ago, that I'd just written about the October 14th prophecy, which got very popular on the net. Lots and lots of people were sending me email about it. I was getting 5 or 10 emails a day about October 14th. I got really tired of it after a while. Well, of course, nothing happened, and some people attacked me for the fact that I started to talk about that the night before, but I'd been telling people all along nothing was going to happen. It would violate the game. The game is free will, non-intervention, prime directive, if you want to use a Star Trek term, and that's real. That's not a joke. That's how it works. So this is what we're dealing with. We are in a situation where an intelligent, one infinite creator separated off into a bunch of super creator galaxies. The galaxies, in turn, have a personality. They are people, but like super people. They have archetypes, 22 archetypes. 22 if you include the Fool, which is outside the seven, the three groups of seven. And with these archetypes, everybody on every planet goes through the same stuff. That's the negative, that's the positive, that's every planet, every civilization has the same basic 22 experiences that they all have, and that's it. That's the whole summation of your spiritual path in those steps. That's the mind that you go through in the process of your enlightenment. So we all have the same thing. So a bunch of people were thrown together on this planet who had not been able to graduate on other planets. They were still undecided as to whether they loved people or whether they wanted to control people. Now you get them all here on this planet, and there's three cycles of 25,920 years in length that they have to figure it out. At the end of each of these cycles, an energetic opening occurs where if you get it, you have the opportunity to transmute, to ascend, meaning you're not physical, your body ceases to exist except as a light body, meaning you don't have a physical body anymore. Now granted, the light body is so much higher in its intensity that it has the intensity for you to reconstitute a physical body, if that's what you want to do. So people are like, oh, David says we're all going to die in 20... No, I never said that. In the Law of One series, they had to split hairs and say that from a technical perspective, yes, the physical body ceases to exist. You could call that death. But once you become a fourth density ascended being, your being is powerful enough that you could reconstitute the physical body. So when most people think of death, they think of something painful and they think of the fact that they may not exist anymore. That's not what it is at all. This is basically like going through a stargate, and when you come out the other end of a stargate, your body reconstitutes. So if you wanted to reconstitute your body, you could. That's not what this is about. So just imagine a typical planet, most of which are more harmonious than the Earth has been. And at the end of these 25,000, 26,000 year cycles, people have the opportunity to graduate. When they graduate, they ascend. They're no longer visible. The rest of society moves back into a more primitive state. And then they get to start all over again. And this happens three times in a row before the planet itself moves out of third density. And then all the people who ascended get to come back and enjoy that planet in the fourth density. Well, you have various planets with small groups of people that didn't graduate, that were still third density, and they needed somewhere to go. And normally, if there's enough of them, you just shift them to another planet and they all start together on a new world. But in this case, there were small pockets of people that were not enough to warrant building a whole planet just for them. So they were all put together on the Earth. And this is a decision that was made by the so-called Confederation of Planets, which is this group of 53 civilizations that basically governs our little sector of the galaxy here where we are now. This is not even the whole galaxy. It's just a part of it. So the Confederation has been dealing with the problem that they created as it became more and more obvious that what they did on the Earth was not succeeding. The first 25,920 year cycle came and went and nobody was ready to graduate. That was 50,000 years ago. The second 25,000 year cycle happened to end with only 150 people being ready to graduate. And those became the elders. They essentially became partially ascended, but still stayed in physical form and got to be here on the Earth. And apparently Saint Germain is one of them. Saint Francis of Assisi is one of them. And they're still around somewhere, but they don't come out in the open. You're never going to know who they are because they do not want publicity. And they essentially keep a very low profile. In fact, we've heard from guys like Henry Deacon that there are people from other planets on this planet too, because some of the other ET species are enough looking like us that they could pass as a human. You might need to give them contact lenses and snap in dentures to make their teeth look a little more like ours, but otherwise they could be very ordinary people that you just bump into in the grocery store and you wouldn't even know there's anything different about them. That's true. That's something that we know is true now. And again, it's very simple to understand once you realize that the galaxy is authoring DNA and genetic material. It is not a process of Darwinian random evolution, nor can it be written off in some ridiculous creationism that says that everything in the Bible is literally true. That's obviously not the case. It doesn't mean, however, that the Bible's a bunch of junk. the whole idea that Jesus did not exist and that it was all a myth. Okay, here's the deal on that. There was a historical figure in the Law of One. They call him Jehoshua. That's apparently his real name. The Greeks wrote the New Testament. The New Testament is in Greek. And if you go back to that document, the name Jehoshua was changed to Jesus, which, if you spell it out in the Greek characters, adds up to the number 888. Okay, 888 is Gematrian for Jesus. So this is very interesting, as you may be thinking, because guess what day just came and went not too long ago? August 8th, 2008, 888. And on that day, we had a giant 8 show up in the crops in Wiltshire, England. Okay? Night before that crop came down, I put the exact same figure into a graphic that went up on Richard Hoagland's website talking about the Nazi influence in American science and government. After World War II, Nazis were transferred over here via Project Paperclip. That's where the space program came from. That's where Wernher von Braun came from. And we are living with that heritage in terms of the Republican Party. So, when the Republican Party loses this election, that is a good thing. It's a good thing. It's also a good thing that we have Obama being president, because he is not part of either system, the Rockefeller system or the Rothschild system. And let's please support our changes that are happening. One of the things that Savali said in that radio show, in fact, I want to play you this clip because I think it's really important that you hear this clip. This is what I asked Savali on the air when I wanted to know what was going on with the Illuminati. This was the one and only time I ever got to talk to her in person. I want you to hear what she said. Let's go with that clip right now.
I think we have Dave Wilcox called in. I think you know Dave through emails.
Yes.
Savali. Dave, you want to say hello and you have a question for Savali?
Sure. Savali, it's great to have you on the air. I'm really glad you decided to do it, so thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Dave. It's good to talk with you.
Yeah. I feel like you're an old friend. I've been reading your stuff for so long, and you share so willingly and openly about yourself. It's a real honor to be able to speak with you in person like this.
Well,
go ahead. Well,
you.
Dave, you may have something you want to say to Savali. Go ahead.
Sure.
Question?
I think one of the things I'd really like to have covered here is you shared with me in an email recently about the stages of enlightenment that they try to guide people through.
Yes.
And I would like you to try to sketch out for people how the behavioral conditioning that's coming through the media and the movies and so forth might have affected them. In other words, what personality characteristics would you see in a person when they have been influenced by these teachings? How would the average person who's not really a bad person start to be leaning if the Illuminati teachings were actually having an effect on them? What would they be like? What would start happening?
Well, again, as I said, the average person is not going to be a member of the group, so the influence would be much less. But the media, I believe that, well, in fact, I know, I don't believe, I know that some of the media that we're seeing nowadays is specifically targeted towards teaching people their philosophy or goals. All you have to do is watch a children's cartoons on Saturday morning, and almost across the board, you'll see morphing, power battles, occult, and that's intentional. Movies coming out. But basically, if a person's being influenced by their teachings, that person will learn to not trust their own instincts, their own feelings, their own body, their own perceptions. They'll be looking outside for guidance.
Okay, there you have it. And did you hear what she said? That person will be looking outside themselves for guidance and will not be trusting their own feelings, their own intuitions, their own body, their own perceptions. To me, this is what's happened, and so many people have gotten absorbed in the alternative media and hearing about this stuff. They have read so many articles now that are so virulently hateful and nasty towards these people that they just are completely fed up with politics and think that there is nothing of any virtue and that everyone should just be essentially exterminated. So let's just please try to realize that this is part of the conditioning. A lot of the stuff that's been negative about Obama has come from the Republican smear campaign. They have been working overtime to seed the alternative media with a lot of junk that's not true at all, including blatant accusations that are untrue. I saw a major piece written that was saying he was trying to hypnotize people with the way he was talking, which is not true. One thing after another after another. So, again, the greater perspective that we're going through at this time in the planet's history is a positive one. You have civilizations from all over the place that have come here now, and they are helping us guide ourselves through this major transition as we head into 2012. This is not a negative thing. It's not a fearful thing. And we also have people who are wanderers, meaning they are ET souls that volunteered to be human and come here. And most of you listening are wanderers. I'm going to level with you right now. You are amnesic. You don't really know who you are. You only know a small percentage of who you are. And there's so much more to know than what you normally have in your conscious mind, and that's why our work has gotten so popular. Getting back to the 888 thing, yeah, it freaked me out that I had put this design into a picture that I was working on for Richard Hoagland, and that I had had the thought go through my mind very strongly, what if I focused my mind on a particular image, publicized it, and then it showed up in a crop circle the next day? And that's exactly what happened. Now, you can't say that this was a hoax, because nobody could have known that I was thinking that. And so nobody could have designed that shape. And then other people said, oh, well, David just remote viewed the circle before it showed up. Well, look, it doesn't even matter how it happened. The point is that it did happen. And this is something that was given to us for a positive reason. It was basically two circles put together in an infinity loop. And everything kept focusing on August 16th. And there was another date, August 1st, that was also being mentioned. Now, I went back and did more research and found that the first major bailout bill that Bush tried to pass was around July 30th. So it was just a day or two before the 1st. And that was the beginning of the whole thing falling apart. And sort of the economic fall. Now, we have been told that on that exact date that all these crop formations kept flagging, including the 888 formation, August 16th, that the Russians captured a wonderful treasure trove of documents that essentially indict the New World Order. Now, we may not ever see those documents. I need to be clear with you that that story may not reach the light of day. But what it does mean is that there are other groups out there that now have enough leverage from getting these documents that they can stop this group from doing the things that they're trying to do. Another important aspect of August 16th is that whether you believe these documents were seized or not, okay, that's important, whether you believe that there were documents or not, which is pretty obvious there were, these guys got caught with their pants down, they had to run and flee, and they left trucks behind that were filled with spy craft and spy gear and spy documents. Whether you believe that or not, it is a fact that the Russia-Georgia war ended on August 16th, and that a whole bunch of military divisions that were in Georgia from the U.S. had to evacuate. That's all true. So that represents the sort of defeat, the war defeat, that basically symbolizes the end of the New World Order. They can no longer pull this crap anymore. The American military, I honor them for their service. I think if you're going to go serve your country like my father did in Vietnam, I have my hat off to you, because that's a valiant service, and to put your life on the line for the sake of others is truly noble, even if it's being done under these corrupt times that we're living in. That does not in any way detract from your gift of yourself in service to this country, and I thank you for that gift. However, let's also remind ourselves that the military is in such a state that it could not sustain a campaign to go into any other country. All we're really doing is maintaining a presence in Iraq right now, and I do hope that that gets drawn down pretty soon, because you're having people that have been kept there much too long and can't get out of the system, and all the promises they were given have been repealed. And unfortunately, if McCain were to have been president, not only would that have not stopped, it would have gone on and on and on, very likely. So, again, there's a lot of different threads that I'm trying to all keep going at the same time here, so just bear with me as I jump around. We are looking at the last four-year period prior to this event, 2012. And so who wins the election is very important. And one of the Illuminati points of conditioning is to get you to no longer trust your own instincts. Well, it's very unusual that you would have somebody who is such a good speaker as Obama in general. I mean, he really does rally up people's attention in their minds and gives people a sense of hope and a sense of positivity. I think what Colin Powell said is true. I think he will make an exceptional leader. And I think that we're on the precipice of some really amazing changes in our society. It's possible that there could be shenanigans that are tried between the time that he's elected and the time that he's inaugurated. But I think what we're going to see is the economy will probably rebound after his election victory to some degree. I was actually told that things will be shaping up by next March that will be out of this particular correction that we're in. Because honestly, if the negativity is exposed and purged, it will be great for the market. Most of the companies out there are not part of this nasty system. There are some that are, of course. But the economy can do much, much better if these greedy, corrupt elements are purged out. And it will be much better for the average person. So we don't need to see this as something that's only going to lead to greater and greater hardship. If you had free energy, you have a world that is largely free of so many of the problems that we're now seeing. So this is just a particular moment in time on this world, talking to a bunch of people who volunteered to be human because they were part of the problem. If you are a wanderer and you're listening to this right now, there's about 100 million of us, give or take, on the planet right now, and it could be a lot more than that. That's probably the minimum. It could be as many as 200 million, given all the kids that are being born with exceptional ability. But in terms of people that are teens or adults, it's probably around 100 million. So that's 1 out of 60 people. That means that, 1 out of 60 people. And so it could be a lot of people that you know that are wanderers, and we keep finding each other around the world thanks to the internet. They're in every country, they're in every society, they're in every town, and they have a lot of positive effects. They've been inventors, they've been poets, they've been psychics, they've been musicians, everything you can think of. And it's not that they're better than us, other people, or different than other people, it's just that they come in with a more recent past of being in an ascended state. They've only had a few lifetimes being human in some cases because this was something they had to do to work off karma. We in the higher realms made the decision to combine people together on this planet, hoping that it was going to work out, that the different races would get along. They have not gotten along. That's why Obama's victory is so important, okay? You're having a patriarchal system now in which even the patriarchal side, the McCain side, had to bring in a woman in order to try to stay competitive. Well, this overthrows archetypes that go back to the Old Testament and the Bible, in which Eve betrayed everyone afterwards by being the one who got seduced by the devil in the first place, and then in turn was able to use her womanly power to break Adam and get Adam to bite the apple. It wouldn't have happened if Eve hadn't have been the one that was weak and sustained the damage of speaking to the devil and listening to what the devil had to say. This is an old school biblical theology, of course, but as I've said before, our subconscious mind on a mass level has been structured by these mythos, and the myth has led us to suppress the power of the divine feminine. So that's why I think it was also very significant that this crop formation showed up on 888, because I now recently revealed to myself, going back through John Mitchell's book, The Dimensions of Paradise, when I was on the airplane from Texas back to L.A., that in fact the number of Jesus in the Bible is 888. That only makes the whole thing weirder and wilder. It shows that the same messianic initiative, the spiritual force that went into the ministry of Jesus, was responsible for now bring down the New World Order. And that's why you saw formations after that that were in the form of a crucifix, including a crucifix in the shape of buildings in New York City, similar to that frame from the Matrix movie. And that's why you see, you know, in the Matrix, when he's looking down on the real world and you see the buildings from the top looking down. You also saw a cross that was Celtic, but it also had yin-yang symbols in it, showing the fusion of different religious beliefs together. Now, there's a lot in Christianity that was done right. That's important to point out as well. Love thy neighbor as thyself. These are good teachings. Where it falls apart in modern people's minds is when you start saying that you're better than somebody else, or that you are somehow chosen and they're not. When we talk about wanderers, we talk about angelic souls coming here to the earth. Most of them are not religious. And the reason why is that they see everyone more or less on an equal level. I was very delighted to see Colin Powell come out supporting Obama, specifically because he said, if Obama is a Muslim, then so what? We are doing, we meaning the U.S., are doing terrible damage to ourselves by acting as if all Muslims are the bad guy. It is literally no different than the Nazis saying that the Jews are the bad guy. I was blown away to see the cartoon Family Guy come right out in the open with Nazi uniforms that have McCain Palin buttons on them. And that's a video clip you can go look for on YouTube. It's all over the place right now. I mean, this is huge stuff. This is, all of the secrets are coming out in the open. What Palin has done is shown us the mundaneness of evil, believe it or not. Because there is an evil element to what's going on here. There is a negative side. And fundamentalism, regardless of what religion it comes from, is where most of the problems on this planet are coming from. Holy war, the idea that because someone else has a different view of God than you do, it gives you the right to blow them up, is ridiculous. You can look at Hindu scriptures that say our way is the only way. You can look at Christian scriptures that say appear to say that. Most of the Christian scripture, most of any scripture is just channeling. In many cases, you have other people that are writing about things that happened before they were even born. And yet that becomes the word of God, and it becomes unquestionable in the minds of the religious fundamentalists. Well, channeling now is really not that much different, and that's why you see a lot of people backsliding into the same phenomenon. And we had such a backlash of people that couldn't believe it when October 14th came and went and nothing happened. And the fervor they had for this event was very much similar to people in religious beliefs of the classical religions. So when Obama becomes president, what we're dealing with now is the bringing together of the races, the bringing together of the cultures. He has a name that has Muslim-sounding elements in it. He has a genetic heritage that's half African and half Caucasian. So this is very interesting. And in many ways, I think he's going to be bringing in changes on a much deeper level than we could have imagined. You have to really consider what's going on here. This guy, so-called Joe the Plumber, it was revealed in a Huffington Post article. A lot of people don't understand this, that Joe the Plumber is actually the grandson-in-law of Charles Keating, who is the guy in the Keating Five scandal that McCain was implicated in 20 years ago. Massive financial scandal. Joe the Plumber's father was indicted on a felony for running a fraudulent business and served time in prison for it. So he's not just some guy. And it's not just a random person that Obama happened to bump into. These events carry a weight that most people are not seeing. This guy was a plant. He was put in there because they knew they could trust him because he was the grandson-in-law of Charles Keating. He was on the inside. And then we find out that everything he was saying was a lie, right? He didn't have more than $250,000 of income a year. Even if he bought the business, it wouldn't make more than $250,000 a year, so he would have paid less taxes under Obama's plan. So one time after another, all these ploys are falling apart. And people are getting really tired of the same old attack politics. That's why when you see CNN, the real-time graphs in the debates, anytime these guys start attacking each other, graphs would drop. It's just what was happening. People don't want to hear this stuff anymore. They're tired of hearing people fighting with each other. They want to see positivity, they want to see change, and they want to see growth and renewal. This is a time that we have the opportunity to change the whole planet. There's no reason why we all can't have the lifestyle of upper middle class. If we release the suppressed technologies, that's what it will be. That's what we're looking at. The economy is going to have a massive surge of growth and positivity. And in no way should we be looking at some sort of horrific, terrible problem between now and 2012. If anything, the Earth can start to shift in a positive direction so that there can be a mass spiritual awakening that will allow many more people to be ready for this event, because there is definitely an event. I have spoken and had long conversation with people who worked with the looking glass technology and time viewing technology and time travel technology as a daily part of their lives. On one of Henry Deacon's jobs, he would pop over to Mars through the jump room as a daily part of his responsibilities. This is not science fiction. It's just something that you haven't been told about involving technologies that you may or may not understand. So, there's all these wanderers here, and they're here because we all are implicated in combining people together on this planet, and they've all been fighting with each other. They haven't gotten along very well. And the primary reason why they haven't gotten along is race. So when you have a biracial guy becoming president of a country that has a lot of racist elements in it, you're seeing the unraveling of the very problem that caused the Earth to have so many people that are not ready to be able to graduate. The war between Christianity and Islam is probably the biggest holy war on the planet. He also has the opportunity to help defuse that on many levels. So, this is a good thing. This is not a bad thing. And the change is coming from people within the system. Dan Burrish, who I consider a good friend of mine, was in those meetings of what used to be called MJ-12. He will not reveal what the name of the group is now. And in that meeting were people that were the high-level neocons, including Brzezinski, including Cheney, and others. And you can end up being friends with these people and get along with them just fine if you're on the inner circle and talking to them. It doesn't mean I condone their actions. It doesn't mean that I would join them if I was asked to. But these people are also waking up and they're getting out of the groups. They're walking away from what they were involved in. The negative perspective is to train you to not trust your own instincts. Train you to see things in people that are not really there. And that's what I hope we can change. There's no reason why people that are into the alternative media should be hateful. There's no reason why you should be hateful towards anybody. Because the point here is that we're all coming together in love, and we're learning to be able to embrace each other. We're learning to be able to embrace differences in philosophy, differences in religion, even if that religion is New World Order and Illuminati. It doesn't give us the right to hate them. It doesn't give us the right to treat them with disrespect. However, I do believe that it's important that we know the truth and that we talk about the truth without fear. And some of the things these guys have been doing are really uncomfortable and unhappy and need to be stopped. Children should not be abused. Many of the businesses that they're involved in need to stop. And they should not be able to control the planet and control its resources We should, however, allow them to have amnesty, and we should be able to allow them to not be completely destroyed. I do think they should serve for their crimes. I do think that there should be accountability. It's not like we're just writing a blank check here. This is not a bailout. But what's happening is that there is a financial rearrangement going on. The Illuminati element, the Rothschild element, had hoped that they would be able to control that, but now they can't. That's another important point. Sarkozy, the president of France, is not on the Illuminati side. He's on the Rockefeller side. That's why they were so happy when he got elected. And Bush kept saying how great Sarkozy was. So the Rockefeller side is trying to stop the Illuminati side from taking over. The Illuminati side is trying to stop the Rockefeller side from taking over. And you also have a very powerful lobby from Russia, a very powerful lobby from the Islamic countries, and a very powerful lobby from Asian countries. The Illuminati's original plan was to collapse the global economy, and they would be the only salvation that would save us from financial destruction. That cannot happen. They don't have the money, and other countries do. They have lost the edge. You are watching them fall apart right now. This is what's happening. Let go of the sense that these guys are so big and bad and powerful and so menacing. You're at the end of the road. I've had so many dreams showing me this thing is ending. What you're going to see happen will be blowing your mind. You're going to see more and more stuff coming out in the open. It's going to be a great truth-telling. It's an extremely positive shift that we're having on the planet. It would be wonderful if these revelations start to come out prior to 2012. That may be what's going on here. I would love it if that were true. And it's going to happen. I don't know how quickly it's going to happen. Probably not as quickly as we'd like. But once again, you're seeing UFO articles going out in the mainstream media. You saw the Simpsons cartoon describing vote rigging. You're seeing the Family Guy thing comparing McCain-Palin campaign to the Nazi Germany, getting people thinking about the idea of how we're dividing society with these methods and stuff. It appears that there's not going to be an October surprise. There's no fake terrorist attack prior to the election that's going to happen. I think that we really will have a positive benefit from all this. I do still say, please go out and vote. Don't take it for granted that this is going to go a certain way. Get your voice heard. Get on that ballot. Get to that voting box. Make it happen. Let yourself be part of the system in that sense that you have a voice and you can help to control the outcome. So I've been talking with you for a long time. This is going to be two CDs worth of material. I've decided to let it go for that length so that you have enough to keep yourself busy for a while. And here's why I need to keep you busy for a while. I'm going back to the studio with Larry, and we're working on the project Wanderer Awakening. Now, this Wanderer story that I've been telling you is a huge story. It's a story of all these people that have become human, who didn't need to be here on this level, and are volunteering to help the planet evolve to the next frequency. And by just having a physical body, you're up-leveling the frequency on this planet, because you have this energetic connection to the higher realms that most people have kind of faded from. You're actually much more likely to go positive because that's what you remember. So these are the visionaries, these are the artists, these are the forward-moving thinkers. And a lot of them are really emotionally distraught. They're not happy about what's going on with the planet. They want to see things move in a happier direction. John Lennon would be a great example of a wanderer and what a wanderer can do when he gets into a position or she gets into a position of influence. I've said many times, give a typical wanderer the microphone and the attention of the world, and they could be a messianic figure. That's a common thing. Not that we want a messianic figure, because we don't. This is a collaborative effort that we're going through to grow as a planet. But make no mistake that there really are people out there. We are like this one little insulated nation that does not understand that it's surrounded by other people, because it hasn't made that journey out past its own borders yet. And it's going to happen. We're going to meet people from other planets. We're going to see that they're human. We're going to see that we're part of this galaxy creator. And we're going to remember sooner or later that we're all part of the same infinite creator. There's no point in fighting over religion, dickering over whose God is the good guy and whose God is the bad guy. That's foolish. Each master teacher had a different path to get to the one infinite creator and brought notes back from the journey. And we have an opportunity to honor those various traditions while seeing that they have a commonality, a shared common ground in truth. And that's a good thing. We like the fact that you can look for different religions' answers and find common truths in those religions, that there is a truth of love, there's a truth of peace, there's a truth of us moving in a direction where we will grow together more and more in harmony and fellowship. So the wanderers are all here now, and most of them don't know who they are, and they're all going through this process of awakening. So now, as the thinking goes in my mind, how do you get these people, like those of you who are listening now, to wake up to who they really are? Well, it was about 4 years ago that I met Larry Sayer. He booked a session with me, and you've heard me do a recent show with him called There's Only One of Us Here, Parts 1 and 2. And at the time, I was not audacious enough to ask him that we do a whole vocal album together. It would have taken way too much time, and his time is very valuable. Studio time on that level, if I was contracting for it, would have been $3,500 a day, and we just couldn't have afforded it. Whereas now, we are in business together as a result of collaborating on our first project, The Science of Peace, which is available on my website. We have recently put out a new version of it. This is an HD version where all the MP3s are encoded at 320 kilobytes per second. For those of you who are really attentive to that kind of stuff, it is going to be a higher quality sound. There's no doubt about that. Although I do still say that the 128s, the typical one for $59.99, and then even if you just wanted the basic three CD length MP3 set, these are not CDs, these are MP3 files, you download them off the website, the basic one is $39. The new one is $99, but what that does is it actually takes a lot more of a chunk out of our server because the files are bigger. But with broadband, you can still download it pretty quickly and easily. It's just like ordering a piece of software, like a major piece of software. But in the Science of Peace series, we only made background music. I'm not singing in that music. But yet I do have a background of singing. In fact, it was a whole direction I could have taken my life into that I voluntarily decided not to go into in 1996 as a result of the manifestation of my dream voice in November 96 after I started to read The Law of One in January 1996. That took me off on this 10-year quest, which involved going through, well, it's more than 10 years. It's 12 years now since this all started. And during that time, I've developed a relationship with my higher self. For the last 10 years, I've been on the internet as a public figure talking about these things. Everything that I've been saying has been consistently coming true. We were talking about interplanetary climate change. There's more and more evidence that all the planets are changing like the Earth. I talked about the fact that the real cause of interplanetary climate change was we're moving into a zone of higher energy in the galaxy. Now you're seeing the sun's magnetic field that surrounds all the planets being squashed in by 25%, which is caused by the extra dust and energy of the new region that we're moving into in the galaxy. So this is all stuff that's been coming true. We have documentation of channeling from the 1950s, saying that we are moving into a zone of higher energy in the galaxy, saying that it would transform the planets in the solar system, and saying that it would have a genetic and an energetic effect on life on Earth and bring us through this dimensional shift. So look, when you see Stargate technology being used, and obvious television shows trying to tell you the truth, that this is what's really going on, all the stuff you need to know to see that this could happen is already out there. So why would people still think that it can't happen? I don't know. But if you want to think that it's not going to happen, great. Nonetheless, we're still in the midst of a massive social awakening. So wanderers are people who started out from a higher vibrational plane, like the one the Earth is moving into, and they volunteered to be human. But then you forget who you are, you get stuck here. The most common dramas that we all go through as wanderers involve relationships. So, Larry and I did The Science of Peace almost 4 years ago. We sat on it for 2 years because the material that I put out that was scientific in nature was so similar to this film that I'm working on, Convergence the Movie. Now, that film started a month after I worked with Larry at the Conscious Life Expo here in L.A. At the time, I was living in Kentucky. I came out here just to do that conference, and I met Billy Blake, and he got really excited about my work and said we should make it into a movie, and I accepted. Now, almost 4 years later, we finally have a script that is good enough. I've read it to people, and they say that it sounds like a blockbuster movie. They say that it sounds like National Treasure and Da Vinci Code, and it's got twists, and it's got unexpected surprises, and it's got, you know, intrigue and mystery and great characters and a romance and all this stuff. And I had to go through an incredible, incredible amount of work to be able to write a screenplay. Well, now, finally, I've been able to turn my attention back to something else that I really always wanted to do, and that is to be a fully realized musician on some great projects. Now, Larry is the engine that's responsible for many, many different artists that have sold millions of albums, 500 different signed recording artists, and it's a who's who list. So the engineer is the guy who actually makes those albums sound like they do. Larry also can play drums, he can play bass, he can play guitar, he can play keyboards, and he does each of them at a level of proficiency that's quite admirable. I mean, granted, I'm a more devout drummer than he is. Drums are not one of his main things, but that's one thing that I bring to the table, that I can improve some of the things that he's doing, and that's one of the things I bring. But anyway, we have now expanded the project, the Wanderer Awakening project, to the extent that it's going to be two full CDs worth of music and interludes. We have probably what will amount to 24 songs where I'm going to be singing. And I now have all these songs in some capacity or another already organized in the order in which they're going to be done. We have songs from over 30 years of Larry's songwriting experience. I got to go through his collection and cherry pick songs that he had written that fit not only sounding the best, but fit the storyline of the Wanderer as the Wanderer goes through his or her awakening experience. So I'm very excited about this, because what we're doing is bringing out a level of songwriting quality that hits everything from sounding like the Beatles to sounding like Led Zeppelin to sounding like Stevie Wonder to sounding like Hall & Oates to sounding like... There's one song that sounds like Roy Orbison, actually. It's astonishing, and I am blown away. I think some of these songs could be very, very popular if it was still back in the days when the game was fair and you could get your music released and people could hear it. It could still happen. I don't know. I don't think there's ever been a project like this done where it's like a movie and you have such a comprehensive storyline. It truly is like a rock opera, but on a much higher level than it's ever been done before, because it's got this whole metaphysical context. In between each of these 24 songs, we're going to have interludes. We haven't written those yet, but we're getting close to it. And the interludes are going to tell the story of the Wanderer as they awaken. So not only does this project have amazing music, but it also teaches you about yourself as a Wanderer, because that's, I'm doing it for the Wanderers, because they're the people that I really think need to wake up the most right now. So, wow, I just look over at the clock and it's 11:11. Right as I was saying, we got to wrap this up. So I thank you so much for listening. Wanderer Awakening is going to be an amazing project. There's going to be two CDs of music and then another CD where I'll be talking like this with music in the background about Wanderer specifically. And then we're probably going to have other bonuses as well. It will be the successor to The Science of Peace. We're hoping to have it out by Christmas. I don't know if we will, but we're going to work our butts off and try really hard to get there. 11:11, it's still there. So this has been great. I thank you for listening, and we'll catch up next time.